I want to share something with you. It's one of those moments when God does something or shows you something and says, "See, I told you. You were right." So, I get this. This is Outreach Magazine. Comes here at the church. I didn't subscribe to it. Every once in a while, it just shows up. And sometimes I get other magazines too. And I look through them. I see if there's any interesting articles in there. And sometimes there are. And sometimes there are things that are just not for me. But I do go through them. And there's some of the things that I find I enjoy reading. And just so you know, when I'm done with them, I put them out on the table in the library. So if anybody wants to look through them, feel free, take them, read them, whatever. But I got this one, and I started reading it a few days ago, but it was this week. And it really spoke to me. And the article that's in here is an interview of Beth Moore. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Beth Moore. She's an accomplished teacher. As a matter of fact, many years ago, Mary and I did had a Bible study in a small group with another church that we were attending at the time. And she was really great. She had a DVD so you could watch her present the material and everything, and then after that you had a discussion and a booklet to work through. But she was really good. So naturally, when I saw this article, I said, "Gee, let me see what it's all about." And basically, the reporter is asking her a number of questions, and the first several ones didn't mean anything to me. It was the last one that spoke to me. And I better get my glasses on so I can read it better. It's not that long. But the question here says, "It seems there are so many difficulties for the church right now. What do you want to see in coming years for us?" Okay, good question. And she responds, "I believe this is a moment in which God is pruning his church. In God's economy, growing can look a lot like shrinking." I think we've all been experiencing some shrinking here. "Just look at John 15, when Jesus talks about what it takes to produce fruit, and he talks about pruning. In this way, believers differ greatly from the world." Before going on, I'd like you to put that particular scripture up. John 15, because that's the one that she references. Rather than read the entire thing and then go back to this, I just as soon talk a little bit about this. And I think you'll understand why. And here Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So we see the intent of pruning is to produce more fruit. Pruning can be somewhat painful. Pruning may not look like fun, because it isn't. But I think that, you know, and we have kind of touched on this in discussions previously, that we have had to cut back, and it all started with COVID. There are a lot of things that we don't do anymore that we used to do. We don't have a choir anymore. I miss that. I think we all do. But it is what it is. We don't do the harvest auction anymore. That was always an exciting time. We don't do any street events or garage sale or whatever anymore. We're kind of small. We don't have the resources, the people, the number of people to do that anymore successfully. And we certainly don't want to burn anybody out by always having more and more to do, more and more to do. That's not what God wants. It appears that God has allowed many churches, including us, to undergo some pruning, cutting back on things that maybe he felt was not necessary, or that he wanted to replace with something better. It seems to be a principle of God that whenever he takes something away, he replaces it with something better. And we need to look at it that way. God has taken some things away from us, but he's in the process of giving us something better. Maybe we don't quite see it yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And when I read this article and I read over the scripture again, one of the things that came to mind is that Mary and I have a garden. Yeah, we do grow some vegetables, but you don't prune the vegetable plants. But we also have some berries. And I had never grown blackberries before, but Mary and I started growing some blackberries. And a blackberry plant is unique in some respects, because, and I had to do some research on this because I ran into some difficulties because I didn't know any better. But in any event, you put the blackberry plant in the ground and it starts to grow. And you get these branches that are close to the trunk. But then you get all these offshoots and they go way up and out and all over the place. It looks like a crazy plant. And I wonder, what is this all about? Am I supposed to do something with it? How am I supposed to prune it or whatever? Well, I finally found out that it's the branches that are close to the trunk that bear the fruit. These other things, for that year that they grow, don't do anything. They just grow wild. And the research that I did on how to prune blackberries and get them to produce more fruit, every year in the fall, you cut away all the branches that bore fruit that year. Just cut them away. Okay? And you might think, well, gee, the branches, they bore fruit. Why am I cutting them away? Because they're not going to do anything the next year. They're just going to take up energy from the plant. It's necessary to cut them back. And then in the spring, you take those long offshoots and you trim them back to about 2 to 3 feet maybe at most. Those are the ones that are going to bear fruit that year. So this is a continual thing where you prune the plant twice each year. Once to remove the previously fruit-bearing branches, and then later on, the ones that are going to bear fruit the following year. And while they bear fruit, you get more of these wild ones growing. So it's a repetitive process. But I thought about that. Gee, in order to get that blackberry plant to produce a lot of fruit, I have to keep pruning it. I'm sure the plant is not happy about that. We're not happy when we get pruned, because it's either something that we're attached to or is attached to us, and suddenly it's cut off and it's gone. It's like we're wounded. But that's the way it is. Sometimes God has to do that in order for more fruit to be produced. So while we may have been cut back in some ways, it's all because God sees what's coming and there will be more fruit. More than if he had let all of those things alone. So we need to realize God is doing a good thing. He may be trimming us back, but it's all with good intent to bear more fruit. Okay. Now that we got that out of the way, I'd like to continue on with this. She just makes reference to the fact of pruning and how God prunes to produce more fruit. I believe that God is doing something in all the cutting back we are experiencing right now. There's so much idolatry in the church and so much showiness and carnality and all these things. She's talking about the church in general, okay, body of Christ. Too much idolatry. In the sense that we put things before God. There are certain things in our lives that are really number one in our lives as opposed to having God as number one. And it shouldn't be that way. Anything that takes the place of God being number one is idolatry. And I think if we looked in our lives, we might find some things that God would want to touch and say, you know, you're putting that ahead of me, and I need to touch that. You need to get rid of that. So that's what she's referring to here. I think we got to a place in American evangelicalism that we wouldn't have even known if the Spirit was there or not. We knew how to imitate Him, sure. We knew how to do it with all the lights, all the right songs. Now, I love music. I love lights. I'm not even opposed to a fog machine once in a while at an event. But I'm saying we should have been asking, like Jeremiah, where the Lord was. But instead, we got showier and showier and more fleshly. And I think you can see it in some other churches, maybe that are on TV, or if you were to attend another one, or even programs, different ministries and everything. There's so many theatrics. I remember seeing this one particular, I think he was a pastor at the time. This is going back quite a few years, and I don't even remember his name. But he was very animated when he spoke, and he went through all these different gyrations and whatever, and he made his points that way. And I could tell everybody, you know, was enthralled by all of this, by the way he spoke and went through all these motions and everything, and of course they applauded at the end. And I mean, that's the way he did things, but that's not necessary. If God is in what you're saying, you don't need to be showy. You don't need to have theatrics. You don't need any of that stuff. It's better probably not to have them, because that's a distraction. You want to hear what God is saying. And God isn't always in these other things. God is in His Word. He wants you to hear His Word, not watch somebody doing all sorts of crazy things. So that's the kind of stuff that she's talking about here. I believe He's doing something good, something hard. I believe we're in a reckoning. I really do, but that it is good. Because I believe that God is always for us. He's doing exactly what He said He would. He's cleaning house and starting with the household of God. And in doing so, I believe that He has pruned us way back. Why? Well, in order to grow us in a way that is under the headship of Jesus, in the very joints and marrow of Christ Himself. This is going to sound so cheesy, but what I'm hoping for in these years is a return to Jesus, not just Christianity. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, God is not calling us to Christianity. He's calling us to His Son. He's calling the world not to a religion, not to Christianity per se, but He's calling the world, the lost in the world, to His Son. And that's what we need to remember too. It's not, I mean, Christianity is wonderful, but that can be an idol too. He's calling us to Jesus, and we need to be mindful of that. Those things have become very different than a lot of our atmospheres. What does this look like now to return to Jesus? That's my hope. That's my belief, and ultimately, that is my certainty. His word says he will refine his church, and that we will stand before him by his grace, clothed in white linen and in his righteousness, all ethnicities, every tongue, every language, every color. So what I want to tell everyone is, hang in there. He is going to be so faithful to you. Don't assume you know what serving him is going to look like. Let him decide all that. Just walk with him. Let him take you. You're called to follow him, not called to a place, but called to a person. And I read those last lines, and that's the end of the article. I thought about, I said, gee, that's funny. And she says, just walk with him. That's the very thing I talked about last Sunday. What he's calling us to do. He wants to walk with us just like he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. I don't know if you remember me saying that or not. He's a God of relationships. He wants relationship with each one of us. He's calling us to walk with him, not walk with our religion, not walk with our rituals, not walk with our methods of doing things, but walk with him. That's the most important thing that we can do in our lives. Walk with him. Everything else will fall in place if that's what we're doing. Remember, I also put up the scripture, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? We need to be in agreement with him, in agreement with his will and what he desires for us. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That was the other scripture I put up last week. That's what he's calling us to do. That should be our focus. And that could be one of the reasons why the church in general is being pruned, and even us, because he wants us to refocus on him and just being with him and walking with him, with Jesus. God gave us Jesus for a reason. Not only to save us and to be our Savior, but to be much more than that. Yes, we have a song, what a friend we have in Jesus, but he's more than that. We have been adopted into the family, so he's our brother. He's family. We all love spending time with family, don't we? Well, Jesus is family. We need to spend time with him. Walk with him, talk with him. Like the song in the garden. So it just kind of blew me away when I read that, because it just confirmed to me some of the very things that I shared with you last week. It's funny how God does that. I think he wanted to confirm it to you too. This is what he desires. He loves you so deeply. He's calling us to a much closer and deeper, more personal relationship with him. Especially in these dark days. We need that. We need that like never before. We need him like never before. So let's purpose in our hearts to spend that time with him, to walk with him and talk with him. And of course, to be obedient. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sense that you're calling us, Lord, to a deeper relationship with you. We thank you that you are doing that, because we can experience your love to a new level, Lord, a new deeper level than ever before. And once we start to experience that, Lord, I think we'll want even more, because we'll just enjoy you so much and appreciate you so much for the love with which you love us. How can it be described, Lord? I don't know. You gave everything you had to show us just how much you do love us. And all you want, Lord, is relationship with us because of that love. Lord, I just pray that we would all offer ourselves to you like never before. Thank you, Lord, that we may experience you and know you like never before. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.